ringers. You're listening to Today, and the time is exactly 20 minutes to 7. Give or take a day.
Yes, and most of the program will be taken up discussing the Lord's defeat of Clause 28.
Now, free and frank discussion of gay issues makes people gay. That's essentially Baroness Young's point of view. Since we discuss it week in, week out, isn't the whole Today team gay? I'll be putting that question to...
Well, actually, John...
I beg your pardon, Sue?
Well, surely you must have noticed that I've shaved my head, started wearing dungarees and Doc Martens, and spend all of my free time listening to K.D. Lang in the radio park. In fact, you know, Anna Ford and I are going back to her flat after the program, and I'm going to find out once and for all just how many frequencies she broadcasts on.
Heaven forbid, can this be true? James Nocte, you've discussed gay issues quite a lot yourself.
Oh, have no fear, John. No, I'm as macho as they come, yes. Now, come on, everyone. Stay standing. Stay standing if you think I'm gay.
Has the whole world gone insane? At least I'm not affected. Coming up at 7:15, the recorded works of Judy Garland. Why was everything she committed to vinyl just so totally dreamy? At 7:45, we'll be discussing crotchless leather chaps and why they're so difficult to get in my size. But first, I'll be going one-on-one with Peter Mandelson in the radio car.
Hello, I'm Alastair Stewart, and this is Lights, Camera, Police, Whack. Idiotic driving, idiotic show. Police cameras this week caught this jerk speeding down the motorway at over 100 miles an hour. When stopped, the passenger offered this lame excuse.
Well, you see, I was going to be late for my meeting with Tony. I am the Home Secretary, you know.
Hello, good evening, and welcome. And tonight on Through the Keyhole, we'll be looking at me, wondering where it all went wrong. But first, it's over to another C-list celebrity's house, and Lloyd.
Well, thank you, David. Now, at first glance, this blue police box seems really tiny. But as we step inside, you realize it's much bigger than it appears from the outside. The owner's obviously someone with an interest in travel, because here in the center, there's an interstitial gravity drive that goes up and down in a sort of meh, meh sound that sounds slightly more unpleasant than my voice. The person who lives here may be into DIY as well, because over here there's a sink plunger attached to an upside-down dustbin.
And in a moment on Radio 4, The Archers. There's concern that after a clerical mix-up at the hospital, Ruth's head has been replaced by a fishbowl. Meanwhile, the voices in Clary's head instruct her to pour petrol over herself and stand naked in the middle of Ambridge holding a match. And after yet another row with Sid, Kathy finally snaps and goes to live with the badgers in the woods. While there's welcome relief from all the doom and gloom when the program ends. That's The Archers after the news. Don't say we didn't warn you.
Captain's log, stardate 50-21-02. A creature of alien origin is up upon the screen. Oh, my God! I've never seen such an ugly race. Its terrible pointed face, its tight little mouth, its nasty ginger fur. What is it, Mr. Scott?
I think it's called a Robin Cook, Captain.
Romeo? Romeo?
Scotty, what language is this Robin Cook speaking? Can we translate that?
I'll try.
You're a little fool. You're a little shortcut, City Frog.
Divert all computer power to translation of this, Robin Cook.
I cannot give it any more, Captain. The dilithium crystals are gonna blow.
Then set a chorus for Klingon airspace. They might talk at a gibberish, but at least it's better than this.
BBC Radio 4. I'm Brian Perkins. Formulated and controlled by Laboratoire Garnier Paris. The Afghan warlord known as Commander Zardad has been discovered living in Mitcham, Surrey. I have to warn you, Zardad, that's my turf. It belongs to Commander Perkins, the warlord of Radio 4. If you want a piece of me, Zardad, I'll meet you tonight round the back of Mitcham Wreck. We can fight while our girlfriends look on. And now, Libby Purvis with Midweek.
Good morning, I'm Libby Purvis. Quiet at the back, no chewing. There's a travel theme to today's midweek. Cricket has taken Henry Blofeld travelling as far afield as India and the West Indies. Dustin Hoffman has travelled more than 5,000 miles to be with us today. And my birthday guest, Chris Tarrant, has come a long way since presenting Tiswas.
Look, Libby, love, none of us have anything to do with travel.
Yes, it's just a contrived way of grouping us together, ill thing.
Quiet. Everyone inhabits planet Purvis for a reason. Henry, doesn't it astound you that your first name begins with the same letter as Dustin's surname?
Well, I'm not sure I understand what you're saying, Libby. I mean, but it sounds as something like a pigeon has just dropped from a great height.
And talking of pigeons, Dustin, you're probably best remembered for your role in Tootsie, where you dressed up as a bird.
What is she going on about?
I haven't a clue.
I haven't a clue. That must be something you hear a lot, Chris, from contestants on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Oh, I don't know. I'm going.
Yeah, me too.
Awfully sorry, old bean mustache.
Right then. On today's midweek, three very different people who have all, in one way or another, walked off the show. Walking, a way of travelling. And I'm about to walk off myself, which means everything is linked together and there is order in the universe. Good morning.
Hello, is that the restaurant, the Savoy Hotel?
Yes, it is.
Good afternoon. My name is Brian Sewell.
Yes?
Might I engage in the pre-booking of a number of thine standing dino piatto tables in order that I, Brian Sewell, and a number of my assistants and colleagues might feast with one another most heartily in your establishment?
Yes, that would be fine.
I have some of my dining associates with me now. Might they just each take a little time to go through their booking with you?
Yes, that would be fine.
Mr. Winton, would you come here and speak to the gentleman? Mr. Winton. Hello, sweetheart.
Hello.
It's Dale here. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Have you seen me on Supermarket Sweep?
No, I haven't.
The other half?
Nope.
Wonderful. I found the only person on earth who's never heard of me. Listen, I'm a simple person at heart. Mm-hmm. I don't want any fancy things. Could you just do me a mushy pea sandwich?
A mushy pea sandwich.
Oh, I could do with one of those. Will that be all right, sweetheart? Let me just put you on to Bernard Manning. Oh, sexy, come here.
Now listen, Chief, could you ask your chef if he can do me some lightly steamed vegetables, baked gnocchi, and smoked salmon and aubergine coulis with a goat's cheese and parmesan roulade?
No problems, I can ask him. Just hold on.
That's top, all right. No, that's fine.
Okay.
Hang on, let me just get Frank. Frank, you big pudding. Talk to the fella.
Yeah, it's Frank, you know, the former heavyweight champion of the world. How are you doing?
Very well, thanks.
Yeah, it's a bit of a challenging order you've got to deal with here, you know what I mean?
Is it more challenging than the last one?
I just want a bowl of cornflakes, mate.
But we can arrange that, certainly.
Let me just get Mr. Major.
Okay.
Oh dear, what a busy afternoon this is going to turn out to be.
Oh, yeah.
I was wondering, could I bring my own packed lunch?
Your own packed lunch?
Yes, in a little plastic Tupperware box.
Yeah.
Some of those little Jaffa cakes you get in a packet.
Yeah, we can even put down the blanket. We can have a right old picnic here.
Oh, thank you. Just one more.
Okay.
Hey there, Robert.
Hello.
Hey there, It's Sylvester Stallone. And could you cook for me kind of like fried sort of like a golden tortoise there and the far side and come and rag all the old brand and, you know, the, you know, the, yeah, could you make that for me?
Yeah, I think, we can get the all brand. I'm not too sure what the rest consisted of.
Hello there, Robert. It's Brian Sewell. Everything seems to be very, very good.
No problem.
So if we can just cross live now to Peter O'Sullivan for a final confirmation of this order.
Okay.
So final confirmation of the order, and it's a mushy pea sandwich for Dale Winton, then Bernard Manning with lightly steamed vegetables, baked gnocchi and smoked salmon and aubergine coulis, Frank Bruno with a bowl of cornflakes, and John Major bringing his own potted meat sandwiches and Jaffa cakes, Sylvester Stallone eating baked all bran and double glazing, or at least that's what it sounded like, and that completes the order. So Robert, we'll see you at 7:30. What do you think about all that?
It brightened up my day.
And now we can go over to the British Open Golf Championship.
I must say, the golf this week really has been riveting. Tiger Woods hanging on to that 173-shot lead. Here he is at the 13th. He's about 145 yards to the pin. Is he going to try the 9-iron? Oh. What's this? We've got yet another streaker. That's for this tournament. Really does spoil it for the golf fans. Oh, hello, what's this? Looks like our friend's joined in with a bottle of baby lotion. Oh, I hope the stewards sort this out because we're all looking forward to seeing Tiger's choice of club here. Let's go over to the par 5, 7th, where Ernie Els has an awkward bunker shot. Oh, dear. Seems to be a six-strong gangbang obscuring the view. I'm told that particular configuration is called the monk's chain. This must be so disappointing to the thousands of fans who turned up for some really exciting golf. Oh, hang on. I'm told Jesper Parnevik has got his wood out for a birdie on the 5th. Oh, bugger, I thought they were talking about golf for a minute there.
No one told you life was gonna be this way. Your job's a joke, you broke, your love lies to your way.
Hey, Rachel.
Hey, Ross. How you doing, honey?
Yeah, great. I've been thinking about our theme tune. Our job's not really a joke, is it? What with us being the most recognized TV stars on the planet?
Oh, I guess not.
And the bit about us being broke, we do get $1 million an episode each now.
Oh, yeah, honey, and the bit about our love life being DOA.
Yeah, Rach, you're marrying Brad Pitt this weekend, the sexiest man ever.
So what are you saying, Ross?
What this show needs is people who really are poor losers with no love life.
Yeah, Ross, you seen Chandler. Tell him I need to see him over the car lot.
Yeah, okay, Pat.
You're listening to Today. It's 42 billion years since the dawn of time. The government's had a rocky ride over the past few weeks. Have they finally lost touch with the British people? John Prescott, you have, haven't you?
Before I answer that question, and I want to make this absolutely clear, I am determined, and I do not say that lightly, so make no mistake in thinking that I do.
That's all very well, but... No, I'm sorry, I can't let it pass this time. That was gibberish. Answer the question again in English.
Oh, John, I've given an answer, such that it is, and I have said time and time again, insomuch as I have consistently stated that I would do so, which I have, and will continue so that...
That wasn't even a sentence. Give us a sentence, you know, subject, object, verb.
Well, I say to you, John, is that if I don't, inasmuch as I do, and the whole cabinet agree on this, and the listeners to your programme this morning will recognise this, as I often do, that some people, and I think I speak for everyone when I say that I collapse into utter balls, which I might, and I make no excuses for it, nor do I see any reason why I should.
Look, Prescott, just answer the question before I have you shot.
Look, basically, John, Blair has lost touch with the people, right? Oh, sorry, I was beginning to make sense there for a minute. Welcome to Loose Ends, and later on in the show, Arthur Smith will be talking to Emma Freud about that man from the Communards, after which that man from the Communards will be talking to Arthur Smith about Emma Freud, who in turn will talk to Arthur Smith about that man from the Communards, and following which I'll be talking to that man from the Communards. Arthur Smith will be talking to me, and Emma Freud will be talking to herself.
I'm afraid we have to leave that live edition of Loose Ends there, as Ned Sheeran appears to have disappeared up his own bottom. In its place, here is an archive edition of the show from 15 years ago.
And welcome to Loose Ends, and later on in the show, Arthur Smith will be talking to Emma Freud about the man from the Communards, after which, that man from the Communards...
Hello, and welcome to that gardening thing. With me, Charlie Dimmock. And these are my breasts. Now, this week, me and Alan are in Eden and standing in a rather special garden that belongs to a young couple, Adam and Eve.
Yes, that's right, Charlie. And since they moved in, now, Eve has persuaded Adam to alter a few things. So, over there, you can see I've tried to dam up the stream of milk and honey, and I've cut back the manna from heaven, which were growing wild all over the place. So, Charlie, what have you done?
Well, I took my bra off to get some air to my dimmocks. And... started to have a look at that large apple tree. Apple?
No, I really shouldn't.
Oh, go on.
No, honestly.
Eat it!
Oh, oh, two monstrous rearing evil serpents that look like they're going to eat me alive.
Oh, sorry, better put my bra back on.
Hello, Poetry Society.
Yes, hello, You are the Poetry Society.
That's exactly right.
Oh, good, good. Hello, it's Chris Eubank. How does one apply to be considered to be the poet laureate?
Basically, what happens is people are recommended by Downing Street and Buckingham Palace.
Yes.
So it's usually people who have a long established record and history.
Well, yes, such as myself.
Do you write poetry?
Oh, most certainly, yes. Well, mine is a history of poetry writing, which spans a very long time. It's been ages and several weeks. So I could call Tony Blair and I could speak to the Queen and tell them that I want to do it, and they would then appoint me.
Well, they'd continue, but also as well, the Poet Laureate does have the task of sort of, you know, they would sort of have to be sort of representing sort of the people through his poetry and stuff. And so it would be somebody, you know, it couldn't just be that you could speak to the Queen and Tony Blair and they'd automatically select you on the parade.
What does the Poet Laureate actually do?
Well, he writes poems for all sort of public events.
If it was the London Marathon, you could say, London Marathon, London Marathon. Look at all the runners running away and now they have all gone.
You could say that, yes.
Do you think that I could have the ability to do this once I've been put forward?
To be brutally frank, if that was an example, what you just quoted me then, of your poetry skills, very unlikely.
No, that was intending to be brief and go straight to the point. I've just finished a poem of great pleading, and it says, "Hen, hen, hen, tell me when will you lay me an egg for my tea?"
Okay, then. Well, listen, I think you will have to spend a bit of time developing your writing, but I wish you all the best.
And-
And after Liam Gallagher and Patsy Kensit split, rumours are rife that Patsy has found herself a new rock star boyfriend. The new man in her life made this statement.
G'day, it's your old mate Rolf here. I'm afraid poor old Liam's lost out to me. You see, Liam's foreplay was just too feeble. His lovemaking too weak. His prowess just didn't make it all the way through the night. So little Patsy just slipped away into my bed. It's very sad. Not for me, though.
Well, the rest of the scorecard reads as follows. Caddick, 12, Goff, 9, and Croft undefeated on 28, which is a coincidence, as Clause 28 also remains undefeated after the House of Lords voted down the repeal. Bad news, Fred.
Well, indeed, Blowers. You know, you have to ask yourself if they stop teaching about homosexuality in schools... How are we going to bring the youngsters through?
Well, you have a point as always, Fred. Remember the greats who have graced our lives, Sir Larry?
Larry Grayson, brilliant, wonderful. them two skaters, you know, John Curry and Elton John, you know.
Well, let's not forget dear old Kenneth Williams and Quentin Crisp. Oscar Wilde, Gielgud. We're already finding it hard to produce them the way we did in your day, Fred.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, you've got the Clary boy and the lad George Michael and, of course, Graham Norton. And, how about Michael Portillo?
Well, he's only a dabbler, so he says. Just had a bit of a tickle outside of the off stump. No, unfortunately, he bats the other side and he plays it with a straight bat.
Sadly, Blowers, it looks as though this country will once again fall behind in something in which we once excelled. And as the old saying goes, Henry, no homosexuality in schools today, no boy bands tomorrow.
Okay, hi there, it's me, Jerry Springer. You suffer, I make money from. It's simple. Okay, today on the show is Yogi Bear, whose relationship with his nephew, Boo Boo, has deteriorated. Tell us why, Yogi.
Well, I gotta tell you, I've been having an affair with a ranger.
What do you say to that, Boo Boo?
I don't think I like it very much, Yogi.
There's nothing I can do, Boo Boo. He's got me eating out of his picnic basket.
But Yogi, what about your girlfriend, Cindy?
I don't want her anymore, Boo-Boo. She's a trailer trash hoe.
I don't want to hear this, Yogi. Talk to the paw, because the face ain't listening.
So, as these two bears fight it out, it's time for Jerry's final thought. If you go down to the woods today and see Yogi and the ranger together, you're sure as hell in for one big surprise.
And welcome to the Radio 1 Breakfast Show with me, Slapper Sarah. The thinking man's Sue Pollard. Right, I got into dead trouble, right, for talking about Jamie Theakston's you-know-what on air. But the BBC, right, have let me continue my show on one condition, that I don't mention male sexual organs again, right? Anyway, that's all from me, Sarah Cox.
Stop! Right, get out!
Hi, Des here, of course, coming to you from an island off Hawaii, not on holidays, I've bought it. Just heard Luis Figo, the Portuguese striker, has signed up by Real Madrid for $43 million. And word of advice from Desrael, you'd better be careful. Wouldn't be the first to spend vast amounts of wonga on a transfer, only to be disappointed. ITV European Cup ratings, say no more. Oh, dear. Well, that's about enough from me. Time's money, and time's that money by 10, and you've got my salary.
I was sharing a pot of Earl Grey with Thora Heard just the other day.
When a man came on the wireless saying that the successful docking of a Russian capsule ushered in a new era of space habitation, Thora looked up reproachfully. Alan, she exclaimed, a caramel eclair quivering gently in her hand. They simply don't understand the dangers that lie out there in the universe. I nodded sagely, and my mind perambulated back to a warm July afternoon in 1982, when there was a knock on the door. It was Mr. Pettiforth from number 42, clutching what I initially took to be one of his prize-winning marrows. But I was most taken aback when a hideous squid-like beast leapt from what I then realised was a sinister alien egg and secured itself to my face. Fortunately, the creature detached itself and I thought no more about it. Until, that is, midway through a spot of afternoon tea with Peter Salis. When, after a touch of tummy trouble, I put down to trapped wind, Thora Heard burst from my stomach. With an unearthly screech and a shower of green liquid. Thora then leapt onto the hostess trolley and ate the last macaroon. Showing an unpardonable lack of decorum. So as I look across to Thora and see her powerful jaws shooting out from her mouth and securing themselves round Mr. Pettiforth's neck, I say to those space boffins, don't look beyond the galaxy for signs of alien life. It's already living in Homefirth. After all, in Yorkshire, no one can hear you scream.
You've been listening to Dead Ringers, starring John Coleshaw, Jan Ravens, Kevin Connolly and Mark Perry. The associate producer was Adam Bromley, and it was produced by Bill Dare. The writers were John Holmes and Andy Hurst, Neff Fountain and Tom Jameson, Simon Blackwell, Dave Cohen and Paul McKenzie, Lawrence Howarth, John Coleshaw and Henry Naylor.
BBC Radio 4. That was A Book at Bedtime, read by Martin Jarvis. So come on, why aren't you in bed yet? When Radio 4 says it's bedtime, it means bedtime. Go on, up those stairs. Teeth and toilet. No, you can't have a drink of water. I can still hear you.